When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Forever Dog. You can listen to this podcast ad-free on Forever Dog Plus by signing up at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And make sure to follow us on social at Forever Dog Team and check out all of our podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Public Domain Theater with Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, and guest Greg Smith, reading The Red Room by H.G. Wells. Welcome to Public Domain Theater, the podcast of highbrow readings and lowbrow commentary. I'm Lindsay Kaytai.
And I'm Kelly Nugent. And today we are joined by a very special guest. You may know him from the Dopetown 3000 podcast, as a writer for The Core on Shudder. From Hollywood Darlings on Pop TV, we have actor, writer, director, podcast host, Greg Smith with us.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Welcome. Aww, thank you for coming.
I'm so glad this podcast is highbrow.
Mm-hmm.
I only appear on shows that are middle at the least.
Sorry.
Actually, it's highbrow readings.
Lowbrow commentary. But I think it evens
that
out.
That does even out to middle.
So we're safe.
Welcome
you just
to
made
the
it.
Use.
So welcome home.
Thank you.
Something we like to ask all of our guests is, what are your reading habits? What were you like in high school? Did you do the assigned reading? What are your favorite genres, etc.?
Yeah. I always did the assigned reading in high school and college.
Good boy, Greg.
Yeah, I was a good boy. yeah, I really loved the classics I read in high school. Like, I really loved Fahrenheit 451 and Siddhartha. Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe was a book I read in high school that I love. I love existentialism, so I fell in love with Camus. And The Metamorphosis is one of my favorite books ever.
Real good.
But I also love detective stories, Dashiell Hammett, stuff like that.
Fuck
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is probably
great.
Fuck yeah.
Maybe the most important book to me.
Yeah.
Recently, I feel very bummed and kind of upset with myself because I never make time to read.
Oh.
Whenever I have free time, I just go to a screen.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Same. I only read because of these podcasts.
Actually, you know what? I recently, because the third book just came out, bought and started reading Kirsten White's third book, which we got turned on to because of this, because of our other podcast.
And because of our Patreon episodes for our other podcast, Teen Creeps, we read Kirsten White's And I Darken.
Yeah.
It's And I Darken. And then the second one is And I Rise.
And the third one is Bright We Burn.
Oh.
Yeah. And it is.
It's a very different title.
Popping off in that book. It's good. But yeah, otherwise, it is such a bummer to not set aside time to just read for fun.
Yeah.
And I keep buying books compulsively and then still not reading them.
They're just piling up in my house.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I do love purchasing books, especially at a used bookstore. If you find some cool covers.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, what a treat. What a dream.
Absolutely.
So did you read? Are you familiar with a lot of H.G. Wells' stuff?
I am. I'm a big fan of spooky stuff in general.
Yeah, great. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up to that.
You are the perfect guest to have.
Wow.
Yeah. Because you like reading and also spooky stuff, and we're reading a spooky reading thing.
I wish there was a word for
there
that.
There isn't, though, and there never will
that's
be.
That's the problem, I guess.
It's really too bad that English doesn't account for new words.
It doesn't
That's
evolve.
Yeah.
It stays the same always.
Yes.
So.
It's rigid.
Mm-hmm. Such a shame.
It's rigid.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading, did y'all read these? They were called the Great Illustrated Classics.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I've seen them. I didn't read them.
Yeah.
I had them.
I feel like I read The Time Machine as an illustrated classic.
I read The Time Machine
Maybe I read The Invisible Man. H.G. Wells' The Invisible Man. But The Time Machine is the one. Oh, and The War of the Worlds. Yeah. The very end of the War of the Worlds. I remember listening to, they made like a Prague concept album in the 70s of the War of the Worlds. That was like wild and cheesy. So yeah. I'm a bit, sounds about right. I'm like a Wells fan.
That's cool.
I'm excited for this story.
This is cool.
This is a first.
Have you read The Red Room?
I have not.
Well, Red.
You gotta leave.
Okay.
You were the perfect guest and now you aren't.
Seems weird for your show, but okay. Thank you for having me.
So what do we know about H.G. Wells? We know that he was born in, okay. So okay. Lindsay, when do you think he was born? Lindsay's very good at guessing when people were born.
When was this story written? When was this reading thing written?
We don't know.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try anyway. I'm going to say, right. I was almost so very wrong, I believe. I'm going to say 1842.
Man, again, you got two out of the four numbers, right? 1866.
Okay.
But died in 1946, which is the four.
That must have been what I was thinking.
It was mixing the signals in your brain.
Yes.
He's best remembered for his science fiction novels, often called the father of science fiction, along with Jules Verne and Hugo Gernsback.
Hugo Jackman.
No relation.
That was like a mutant who fixed clocks, right?
Yeah.
Hugo? That's a Hugo joke.
Uh-huh. You can keep going. It's really funny.
I get it.
That's really funny.
Thank you so much.
The best jokes are the ones where you go, that's really funny.
Is when you say that twice. But during his own lifetime, he was most prominent as a forward-looking, even prophetic, social critic who devoted his literary talents to the development of a progressive vision on a global scale. He was a futurist. He wrote a number of utopian works and foresaw the advent of airplanes, tanks, space travel, nuclear weapons, satellite TV, and something resembling the World Wide Web.
Oh, wow. I love the World Wide Web.
In 1891, he marries his cousin, Isabel Mary Wild.
Cool. Less
forward thinking.
The marriage of the future.
Were he and Edgar Allan Poe contemporaries?
No, they just shared a love of cousins.
Yeah, I was about to say.
The cousin thing. Yeah. I think that's, oh my God, what is happening? I just clicked on a link. Okay. He agrees, they decide to agree in 1894. Because guess what? He does something else very dope, falls in love with one of his students, Amy Catherine Robbins, later known as Jane, for reasons unknown.
I have to say that he is such a futurist.
Such a futurist.
Such a futurist.
Because he's marrying the children are our future.
Yeah. He believes the children are the future.
Mm-hmm. So he moves to Surrey with her. They live in a rented house. This was his most productive time in Woking. Which is not part of Surrey, not flying.
Futurist, so woke.
So while he's there, he plans and writes War of the Worlds, Time Machine, completes The Island of Dr. Moreau, published The Wonderful Visit and The Wheels of Chance, and begins writing two other early books, When the Sleeper Wakes and Love and Mr. Lewisham.
Damn, her vagina is magic.
Hold up, his wife Jane, she's like, I'm gonna give you permish to have affairs with numbers of women.
Oh, is she gay?
I think so, including American birth control activist Margaret Sanger, adventurer and writer Odette Kuhn, Soviet spy Maura Budberg, and novelist Elizabeth von Amin. This guy was probably really good in the sack. This like adventurer is like, yeah, I'll sleep with you.
Yeah, also running in some hella lib circles.
Yeah, and getting some like cool like spy girls. Like that's kind of cool.
That's dope.
So he goes to Russia three times, 1914, 1920, 1934. In the 1920 visit, he sees his old friend Maxim Gorky, and with Gorky's help, he meets Vladimir Lenin.
Wow.
He then writes the book Russia in the Shadows. He portrays Russia as recovering from total social collapse, the completest that has ever happened to any modern social organization. July 1934, he goes to visit FDR. He goes to the Soviet Union. He interviews Joseph Stalin for 3 hours for the New Statesman magazine, which is extremely rare. He tells Stalin, listen, I've seen the happy faces of healthy people in contrast with his previous visit to Moscow in 1920. But he's like, I'm going to criticize your lawlessness, class-based discrimination, state violence, absence of free expression. Stalin enjoyed the conversation and replied accordingly. Not very many details. We don't know what he says.
Well, he didn't reply too accordingly, I would imagine.
Yeah,
he probably still...
he's alive after this.
He's like, I see your point. I'm not going to change anything, but I do understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, and you may leave without like being killed.
Yes. You know what? Agree to disagree.
He's like, differing minds. Wells hoped that by his trip to the USSR, he could win Stalin over by force of argument. But before he left, he's like, it's not going to work. So he leaves.
That was very idealistic.
He's a little too utopian for him to think that would work.
Yeah.
He dies of unspecified causes, August 1946, on the 13th, age 79, at his home at 13 Hanover Terrace, overlooking Regent's Park, London.
That's very funny that it gives an address.
He said that his epitaph should be, I told you so, you damned fools. This is thought to be a reference to the two atomic bombs the U.S. dropped on Japan the year before to end World War II, the long-ranging effects which he warned readers about in The World Set Free. Mm. His body's cremated at Golders Green Crematorium. His ashes are scattered into the English Channel at Old Harry Rocks.
What a life.
The claws were out at the end.
I know. He was like, told you so, you damn fools.
I told you so, bitches. Have fun with your shit world.
The Red Room by H.G. Wells. I can assure you, said I, that it will take a very tangible ghost to frighten me.
Oh.
And I stood up before the fire with my glass in my hand. It is your own choosing, said the man with the withered arm and glanced at me askance.
Rude.
Very, very rude. 28 years, said I. I have lived, and never a ghost have I seen as yet. The old woman sat staring hard into the fire, her pale eyes wide open. I, she broke in, and 28 years you've lived and never seen the likes of this house, I reckon.
Kelly,
there's
too, like,
many
hate
things
me
to see.
You're going to make me do this accent.
Hopefully she'll die before you get. We get to you. To see when one's still but 28. She swayed her head.
Nobody can
slowly.
Say 28 in this world.
No. They can't do it. They can't do it.
They're fancies.
She swayed her head slowly from side to side. A many things to say in sorrow for. I half suspected the old people were trying to enhance the spiritual terrors of their house by their droning insistence. I put down my empty glass on the table and looked about the room and caught a glimpse of myself, abbreviated and broadened to an impossible sturdiness in the queer old mirror at the end of the room.
That's a oxymoron. Abbreviated and broadened?
Here's the thing. He was like squished out because maybe the mirror makes you look. But you know what?
Made him look shorter and
it's like
wider.
The opposite of a fitting room mirror. Because the fitting room mirrors make you look nice and slim and tall.
They do.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
And then why do I still hate myself when I try on
clothes?
Because
their lighting is very bad and it's too hot and it makes you sweaty.
True. It's true.
It's a conundrum. Well, I said, if I see anything tonight, I shall be so much the wiser. For I come to the business with an open mind. It's your own choosing, said the man with the withered arm once more.
funeral.
Your fucking funeral, dude. I heard the faint sound of a stick and a shambling step on the flags in the passage outside. The door creaked on its hinges as a second old man entered, more bent, more wrinkled, more aged even than the first.
I started to wonder, why do I keep hanging out in these nursing homes?
He supported himself by the help of a crutch. His eyes were covered by a shade, and his lower lip, half averted, hung pale and pink from his decaying yellow teeth. He made straight for an armchair on the opposite side of the table, sat down clumsily, and began to cough.
He sat down clumsily.
Yeah. He's like, ooh.
He did like a Dick Van Dyke sort of.
And then just starts coughing. The man with the withered hand gave the newcomer a short glance of positive dislike. The old woman took no notice of his arrival, but remained with her eyes fixed steadily on the fire. I said, it's your own choosing, said the man with the withered hand, when the coughing had ceased for a while. It's my own choosing, I answered. The man with the shade became aware of my presence for the first time and threw his head back for a moment and sideways to see me. I caught a momentary glimpse of his eyes.
I should have been sitting on the mantle.
I was like a little elf on the shelf. I caught a momentary glimpse of his eyes, small and bright and inflamed. Then he began to cough and splutter again.
We all got tuberculosis that night.
Why don't you drink? Said the man with the withered arm, pushing the beer toward him. The man with the shade poured out a glassful with a shaking hand that splashed half as much again on the deal table. A monstrous shadow of him crouched upon the wall and mocked his action as he poured and drank. I must confess, I had scarcely expected these grotesque custodians. There is, to my mind, something inhuman in senility. Wow, ageist.
Mm-hmm.
Something crouching and atavistic. The human qualities seem to drop from old people insensibly day by day. Wow, he is in trouble.
So ageist.
So ageist.
Also, can I say, I am super annoyed that we don't know where they are.
They're in a room.
They're in a room with a fireplace.
It's a fireplace and a chair.
I gotta say, most of these authors we read would be terrible at improv because they're not giving you the where.
Yeah.
They don't give you very much, and then sometimes they do
too much.
Where it's like, it all began, let me sit down by this
let
fire.
Let me tell you, I was born in Surrey in 18-0.
18-0. The three of them made me feel uncomfortable with their gaunt silences, their bent carriage, their evident unfriendliness to me and one another.
Like, I'm not afraid of ghosts, but I am afraid of old people.
And that night, perhaps, I was in the mood for uncomfortable impressions. I resolved to get away from their vague foreshadowings of the evil things upstairs. If, said I, you'll show me to this haunted room of yours, I'll make myself comfortable there. The old man with the cough jerks his head back, so suddenly it startled me. And shot another glance of his red eyes at me out from the darkness under the shade, but no one answered me. I waited a moment, glancing from one to the other. The old woman stared like a dead body.
Whoa.
Is this the whole story?
Is he just like hating on the elderly for like pages?
And then her fucking paper wrinkles, like her skin
crinkling and banging
so
in my ears.
So soft, so thin.
Glaring into the fire with lackluster eyes. If, I said a little louder, you'll show me to this haunted room of yours, I'll relieve you from the task of entertaining me.
There's a candle on the slab outside the door, said the man with the withered hand, looking at my feet as he addressed me. But if you go into the red room tonight,
this night of all nights, said the old woman softly, you go alone.
Very well, I answered shortly. And which way do I go?
You go along the passage for a bit, said he, nodding his head on his shoulder at the door.
Jerking his head in that direction.
Until you come to a spiral staircase.
It's a shame we hadn't invented that phrasing yet.
Mm. Yeah. Reading things. Mm. And on the second landing is a door covered with a green baize. Don't know what that is.
Sure.
Go through that and down the long corridor to the end, and the red room is on your left up the stairs. Have I got that right? I said, and repeated his directions.
Great.
He corrected me in one particular.
Great.
And you're really going? Said the man with the shade, looking at me again for the third time with that queer, unnatural tilting of his face.
Hey, y'all, I think he wants to go to the red room, and I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think he knows where it is. So how about we go there?
Tonight of all nights, whispered this old woman. It is what I came for, I said, and moved to the door. As I did so, the old man
with the ghost hunter.
ghost hunter extraordinaire. As I did so, the old man with the shade rose and staggered around the table so as to be closer to the others and to the fire. At the door, I turned and looked at them and saw that they were all close together, dark against the firelight, staring at me over their shoulders with an intense expression on their ancient faces. Good night, I said, setting the door open.
Sleep tight.
It's your own choosing, said the man with the withered arm.
We know. Wells.
I left the door wide open until the candle was well alight, and then I shut them in and walked down the chilly, echoing passage. I must confess that the oddness of these three old pensioners in whose charge her ladyship had left the castle.
They're in a castle. Thank you, H.G. Wells. Yes.
And the deep-toned, old-fashioned furniture of the housekeeper's room in which they foregathered had affected me curiously in spite of my effort to keep myself at a matter-of-fact phase. They seemed to belong to another age. An older age, an age when things spiritual were indeed to be feared, when common sense was uncommon, an age when omens and witches were credible and ghosts beyond denying. Their very existence, thought I, is spectral. The cut of their clothing, fashions born in dead brains, the ornaments and conveniences in the room about them even are ghostly. The thoughts of vanished men which still haunt rather than participate in the world of today.
God, I hate eras other than my own.
And the passage I was in, long and shadowy with a film of moisture glistening on the wall, was as gaunt and cold as a thing that is dead and rigid.
This guy feels like he would be a Redditor in our, like a Bernie bro kind of Redditor sort
of
thing.
Yeah. Very active on Reddit.
It's just all about common sense. Ugh.
But with an effort, I sent such thoughts to the right about. The long, drafty subterranean passage was chilly and dusty. My candle flared and made the shadows cower and quiver. The echoes rang up and down the spiral staircase. I have to say, for a guy who doesn't believe in ghosts, he seems
he sees them everywhere.
He seems positive he's about to see some fucking ghosts.
He's at the very least very afraid of shadows.
Yes. Yeah. I don't believe in ghosts. I just don't like the dark.
Why? I don't think anything's in the dark. I just... Anyway, the echoes. The echoes rang up and down the spiral staircase, and a shadow came sweeping up after me, and another fled before me into the darkness overhead. I came to the wide landing and stopped there for a moment, listening to a rustling that I fancied I heard creeping behind me. And then, satisfied of the absolute silence, pushed open the unwilling baize-covered door and stood in the silent corridor.
He's, like, reminding me a lot of, like, if you play, like, a Bethesda game and you, like, shoot an arrow at an NPC, they'll be like, "What was that?" And like, they're like hit with it and they'll be like, "Guess it was nothing." If you just stay still for a while, he's like, "There's rustling behind me. I guess it was nothing."
Okay. The effect was scarcely what I expected, for the moonlight coming in by the great window on the grand staircase picked out everything in vivid black shadow or reticulated silvery illumination. Everything seemed in its proper position. The house might have been deserted on the yesterday instead of 12 months ago. There were candles in the sockets of the sconces, and whatever dust had gathered on the carpets or upon the polished flooring was distributed so evenly as to be invisible in my candlelight. How'd you know it was there then? A waiting stillness was over everything. I was about to advance and stopped abruptly. A bronze group stood upon the landing, hidden from me by a corner of the wall.
A bronze group? Oh my god. Bronze ghosts.
But its shadow,
scary,
fell with marvelous distinctness upon the white paneling and gave me the impression of someone crouching to waylay me. This guy is so afraid of old people in rooms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, some old person's gonna be old on me.
There was. The thing jumped upon my attention suddenly. I stood rigid for half a moment, perhaps. Then, with my hand in the pocket that held the revolver, I advanced.
What is he doing? A ghost with a gun?
He is like convinced that there's a person in here.
Honey.
I don't even know.
No, there's so much dust everywhere.
There's too much. I would have been disturbed if there was a person in there. Ghosts also, you can't see it. How do you know it's there?
I'm scared.
I advanced only to discover a Ganymede, an eagle, glistening in the moonlight. Sure, I didn't say that right.
Ganymede.
Ganymede. Like the moon of Jupiter?
Ah.
Maybe. It's capital G-A-N-Y-N-E-D-E.
What is the moon of Jupiter named after? Keep
your
reading.
Mom.
I'll read it. Ganymede.
Sick. Thanks, nice.
Oh, also a character in Overwatch, I think?
No, it must be an Overwatch
reference.
That's
what the moon was named after.
Yeah, there you go.
That incident for a time restored my nerve, and a dim porcelain Chinaman on the bowl table, whose head dropped as I passed. Yeah, there are other terms. Scarcely startled me. The door of the red room and the steps up to it were in a shadowy corner.
Nice. Get in there, baby. Yeah.
I
immediately turned to the left instead and described the wall in vivid detail.
There were shadows. I don't need to look at that.
I then left. The end.
It is your choice.
Sure enough, as I thought, marry a ghost in that room. I have to go. Nice talking to you. I moved my candle from side to side in order to see clearly the nature of the recess in which I stood before opening the door. Here it was, thought I, that my predecessor was found. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. He's ghost hunter number ?
My name is Peter Venkman. I should have said that earlier.
It's the 80s. I also should have said that earlier.
Also, I don't know why there are candles everywhere. Also, everyone downstairs was a ghost. I was looking for Dana. And the memory of that story gave me a sudden twinge of apprehension. Like it wasn't on your fucking mind this whole time, you liar.
No, he's like, it was just then that I started getting scared.
I just remember my whole reason for being here.
Oh my God.
I glanced over my shoulder at the black Ganymede in the moonlight. and open and open the door of the red room rather hastily with my face half turned to the pallid silence of the corridor.
Ha! Gotcha!
I immediately pulled out my gun and started firing randomly.
I jumped in and I was like, holy God, locks, I'm free! I entered, closed the door behind me at once, turned to the key I found in the lock
within. Behind you. Leave it open, my God.
And stood with the candle held aloft, surveying the scene of my vigil. The great red room of Lorraine Castle, in which the young duke had died.
Nice.
Finally, Jesus
We're
Christ.
We're figuring out this is a ghost of a young duke.
Or rather, in which he had begun his dying.
For what?
He opened the door and followed headlong down the steps I had just descended. That had been the end of his vigil. Of his gallant attempt to conquer the ghostly tradition of the place. Oh, this is a tradition. Yeah. It's like trying to fight a dragon. And never, I thought, had apoplexy better served the ends of superstition. There were other and older stories that clung to the room, back to the half-incredible beginning of it all. The tale of a timid wife and the tragic end that came to her husband's jest of frightening her. And looking round that huge shadowy room with its black window bays, its recesses and alcoves, its dusty brown-red hangings and dark gigantic furniture, this guy just longs to be an interior designer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Give me like an hour. Red is fine. Let's put in some matching seafoam like, green or something. I mean,
it's... All red. Had anybody thought of maybe like a maroon? Mm-hmm.
Let's open up the space. I'm going to tear down these walls and do an open concept kind of thing in
I'm
here.
I'm put in a kitchen
Jonathan
island.
Van Ness entered shortly thereafter. Let's make this room pop, Henny, he said.
Do not wash your hair every day.
Who gave you permission?
One could well understand the legends that had sprouted in its black corners, its germinating darknesses.
They just need to turn some lights on in there, man. They just need to get some more lights in that space.
I think the problem is that they don't have electricity yet.
Torches. Torches galore. Get some, like, thousands of torches in there.
Torch it up. Thousands
of torches. Just, like,
light the
Line
place
the walls.
On fire.
Light it on fire.
Burn it down, honey.
Ugh.
My candle was a little tongue of light in the vastness, in the vastness of the chamber. Oh,
girl,
oh,
yeah. What?
Hell yeah,
hot dog down a hallway, baby.
Now we know why he scored so much.
H.G. Wells, horny guy Wells. Keep going.
You've cracked it, old boy. Its rays failed to pierce the opposite end of the room and left an ocean of dull red mystery and suggestion,
sentinel shadows
and watching darknesses beyond its island of light.
I want him to fuck the Duke.
Yeah, I wanted to.
Are you
ghost.
Kidding? I want him to fuck that room.
Yeah.
Fuck that room.
Mm-hmm.
And the stillness of desolation brooded over it all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, girl.
That top hair.
You're going to get that raw, crackling sexual tension.
How long do I read it until?
Until the end.
Okay.
Until it's they consummate their love, the room and the guy.
I must confess some impalpable quality of that ancient room disturbed me.
Oh.
I tried to fight the feeling down. I resolved to make a systemic examination.
Yeah.
Let it happen. I resolved to make a systemic examination of the place, and so, by leaving nothing to the imagination, dispelled the fanciful suggestions of the obscurity.
And I took off all my clothes.
Before they obtained a hold upon me.
Oh.
After satisfying myself of the fastening of the door, I began to walk around the room, peering around each article of furniture.
Ooh, peekaboo, hi.
It's like a striptease of the room.
Yeah, he was like, ooh, I'm picking up this chair. Ooh.
Okay, tucking up the valances of
Girl,
the bed.
What?
And opening its curtains wide.
No!
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Erotic.
Erotic.
Buy me dinner first. I'm a room.
He actually says that.
Order room service.
In one place, there was a distinct echo to my footsteps. Ooh. The noises I made seemed so little that they enhanced rather than broke the silence of the place.
Mm.
I pulled up the blinds and examined the fastenings of the several windows.
Yeah, you did.
Attracted by the fall of a particle of dust, I leaned forward and looked up the blackness of the wide chimney.
Yeah.
Then, trying to preserve my scientific attitude of mind.
As opposed to my lustful one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I walked around and began tapping the oak paneling for any secret opening
but I desisted before reaching the alcove.
I can't unsee this interpretation now.
Yeah. I'm leaning into it.
I'm also
sure.
picturing him when he's like tapping, he's like trying to fight back his like lustfulness. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, I'm just tapping. And he like keeps like trying to
where's that secret passage?
Mm. I saw my face in a mirror, white. There were two big mirrors in the room.
So he's a white dude, okay.
Yeah, well, okay.
We all knew that.
There were two big mirrors in the room, each with a pair of sconces bearing candles. And on the mantel shelf, too, were candles in china candlesticks.
Okay.
All these I lit, one after the other. The fire was laid.
Oh.
An unexpected consideration from the old housekeeper. Hmm. And I lit it to keep down any disposition to shiver. And when it was burning well, I stood round with my back to it and regarded the room again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little once over, twice over, I guess.
Yeah, he did like a ooh, ooh.
Like a strip.
He's got to neg the room, right?
Yeah.
That's what he was doing before, talking about the dust.
Yeah, he's like, so dusty. Oh, but like if you pull your hair back like this, girl.
Light these candles. Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. You look nice and
candlelight. I guess we can like hang out. I don't know. I had pulled up a chintz-covered armchair and a table to form a kind of barricade before me.
He is so scared for somebody who doesn't
believe
think
in ghosts.
Anything's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, he looked in the mirror and he was ghastly white.
He was so pale.
He's showing his hand. On this lay my revolver, ready to hand.
You can just hold it. Why did he put it on a chair? Just keep it on yourself.
My precise examination had done me a little good, but I still found the remoter darkness of the place and its perfect stillness too stimulating for the imagination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the
baby.
The echoing of the stir and crackling of the fire was no sort of comfort to me. The shadow in the alcove at the end of the room began to display that undefinable quality of a presence.
It's that fucking shadow again.
That odd suggestion of a lurking living thing that comes easily in silence and solitude.
He was so easily talked into this.
I know.
Also, I'll do it. No, you totally don't have
to. It's your choice.
I'll do it.
It's what I came here for.
It's not real. He gets up there. This room is definitely haunted.
From below. You can leave anytime.
I'll stay. My young constitution can overcome.
You're too old. You don't understand.
And to reassure myself, I walked with a candle into it and satisfied myself that there was nothing tangible there. Mm-hmm. I stood that candle upon the floor of the alcove and left it in that position.
Mm-hmm.
By this time, I was in a state of considerable nervous tension.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
Although, to my reason, there was no adequate cause for my condition.
Mm-hmm.
You just spent 100 words describing.
Yeah, he's like, his walk there is enough.
Yeah. My mind, however, was perfectly clear. Was it?
Doubtful.
Denial, my dude.
Yeah.
I postulated quite unreservedly that nothing supernatural could happen. And to pass the time, I began stringing some rhymes together.
Wait, what? So he starts like, he's like,
this is how not scared I am.
My name is Not Scared Guy, and I'm here to say.
I'm not scared in a very not scared way.
Talk about ghost face killer. I began stringing some rhymes together in Goldsby fashion. I'm not sure what Goldsby fashion is.
So he's just
I read a rhyming poem.
Maybe, yes. Concerning the original legend of the place.
A few,
I spoke aloud, but the echoes were not pleasant.
Mm-hmm. So the room didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, thank you.
For the same reason I also abandoned after a time, a conversation with myself upon the impossibility of ghosts and haunting.
There's no ghosts here!
That was so funny. I was so gonna go in talking myself.
My mind reverted to the three old and distorted people.
Oh,
Jesus,
he needs
guy.
To just cool it on them.
Like, I can't hear the ghost over the oldness downstairs.
The three old and distorted people downstairs, and I tried to keep it upon that topic. The somber reds and grays of the room troubled me. Even with its seven candles, the place was merely dim. The light in the alcove flaring in a draft and the fire flickering kept the shadows in penumbra perpetually shifting and stirring in a noiseless, flighty dance.
Ooh, fun sentence.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Ooh.
A little purple. Penumbra. Purple prose.
A little purple.
Usually not a fan. Mm-hmm. That one just had a nice little flow to it.
I buy purple prose in gothic horror.
Yes.
And kind of nowhere else.
Yes. I hate it in fantasy the most.
That's why I've never read like Lord of the Rings. I can't get through it.
Gormenghast novels are like the worst at that.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking purple.
I hate it the most in just like modern fiction where it's talking about just like everyday things. I'm like, can you like
tone it down.
I like it in Gothic horror. I also like it in Southern Gothic.
For sure.
So like Flannery O'Connor.
All for the sure. Gothics.
Mm-hmm. I just bit my lip and I think it's bleeding. Cool.
It's the ghost.
I see it's nothing. The ghost.
Stop lying, Kelly.
Casting about for a remedy, in this case, Neosporin, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I recalled the wax candles I had seen in the corridor, and with a slight effort, it probably took you a while, carrying a candle and leaving the door open, I walked out into the moonlight and presently returned with as many as 10.
I want to say there were already 58 candles in that room.
Riddled with candles.
Yeah, too many candles.
Too many candles.
There I put in the various knickknacks of china with which the room was sparsely adorned and lit and placed them where the shadows had lain deepest,
nice.
Some on the floor, some in the window recesses, arranging and rearranging them until at last my 17 candles were so placed that not an inch of the room but had the direct light of at least one of them.
Yeah, shine a light into those crevices.
Mm-hmm.
It occurred to me that when the ghost came, I could warn him not to trip over them.
That is not funny. That's not fucking funny, dude. That's not fucking funny.
It was so light that I could be like, now you can walk, ghost.
Looks like I'm early.
The room was now quite brightly illuminated.
It's probably so fucking bright. Like, it's what you said.
There are thousands of candles. Yeah.
Thousands of torches all over the walls.
There's like a purple room across the street, and they're like, we're trying to sleep. Turn those off. There was something very cheering and reassuring in these little silent streaming flames. To notice their steady diminution of length offered me an occupation and gave me a reassuring sense of the passage of time.
You know what's so comforting and entertaining is to watch a candle slowly burn down?
Yeah, just, and just like knowing
so diverting
that like while it's burning down, like there's going to be no light when it burns down.
Like I'm so glad I live in an era without TV because like this is enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Come kids, gather around.
No spoilers.
Count down the hours until darkness.
I haven't caught up with
the third of the candle?
Yeah.
The wick?
So close.
We got it. We'll try it again later.
I was trying to think of a candlestick brand. Forget it.
Oh, Yankee Candle.
Yeah, there I haven't caught up with go. Yankee Candle. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll try again.
It's funny.
It's cool.
That was funny.
We'll re-record. We'll edit it in.
I haven't caught up with Yankee Candle.
Even with that, however, the brooding expectation of the vigil weighed heavily enough upon me. I stood watching the minute hand of my watch creep towards midnight.
Nice. Bring a book.
It's bright enough in there. He could read.
It's true. Then something happened in the alcove.
What?
I did not see the candle go out. I simply turned and saw that the darkness was there.
Oh.
As one might start and see the unexpected presence of a stranger.
Oh.
The black shadow had sprung back to its place. By Jove, said I aloud, recovering from my surprise, that draft's a strong one.
Oh my god, draft!
It was just the wind. Jove.
Oh boy.
And taking the matchbox from the table, I walked across the room in a leisurely manner.
Stop, stop. Mm-hmm.
To relight the corner again.
No, dude. You don't just leave it.
My first match would not strike.
Oh my god.
And as I succeeded with the second,
doesn't he just take the and like light it from one of the other thousands of candles? I mean, I'm just curious.
It's a fair point.
Great.
This is kind of like the version. Like when you go to a horror movie and you yell at the screen.
Yeah, like stop.
I guess back in the day, you just like put the book down and like, no.
Yeah. Like, don't do it. Mm-hmm.
You pick it back up.
Mm-hmm.
My first match would not strike. And as I succeeded with the second, something seemed to blink on the wall before me.
What?
I'm on board now.
Yeah.
I turned my head involuntarily.
It only took the whole story to get there.
Yeah, okay, what?
And saw that the two candles on the little table by the fireplace were extinguished.
Oh my god, stop. Don't go there.
I rose at once to my feet.
No.
Odd, I said.
Stop saying fake shit.
Did I do that myself? In a flash of absent-mindedness?
Buddy, he absentmindedly blew out those candles.
Buddy, you watched it happen, buddy.
Oh my god.
I walked back, relit one, and as I did so, I saw the candle in the right sconce of one of the mirrors wink and go right out. And almost immediately, its companion followed it. I went up to it and said, hey, fancy seeing you. The flames vanished as if the wick had been suddenly nipped between a finger and thumb, leaving the wick neither glowing nor smoking, but black.
Oh, my God.
While I stood gaping There should be a comma here, yeah. H.G. Wells. While I stood gaping, the candle at the foot of the bed went out, and the shadows seemed to take another step toward me. This won't do, said I. no thanks. Hard pass. And the first one and then another candle on the mantel shift followed.
Stop.
What's up? I cried with a with a queer high note getting into my voice somehow.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on? What's good, fam?
Oh, man, we're all here.
We're just going out? Okay, sick.
Tight. See you guys out there.
At that, the candle on the corner of the wardrobe went out, and the one I had relit in the alcove followed. Steady on, I said. These candles are wanted, speaking with a half-hysterical facetiousness.
I have a real affection for this guy now.
I love this guy. He is so in denial. I love this guy. For no one.
He's putting on just a little himself. Play for himself.
I know. Everything's dandy.
And scratching away at a match the while for the mantel candlesticks. My hands trembled so much that twice I missed the rough paper of the matchbox. As the mantle emerged from the darkness again, two candles in the remoter end of the room were eclipsed. But with the same match, I also relit the larger mirror candles and those on the floor near the doorway, so that for the moment, I seemed to gain on the extinctions. But then in a
wait,
noise...
Wait, so he's just like...
he's like running around the room.
He's trying to beat the candles
I'm
at their own game.
I'm just picturing him like Naruto running around the room, like trying to light these candles.
Yeah, maybe this is like a training sequence. Maybe those old folks are Mr. Miyagi-ing him the whole time. Candle on, candle off. But then in a noiseless volley, there vanished four lights at once in different corners of the room.
Oh, my God.
And I struck another match in quivering haste and stood hesitating whither to take it.
This boy's going to run out of fucking matches. He needs to just carry a candle.
It's true.
Oh, my God.
As I stood undecided... An invisible hand seemed to sweep out the two candles on the table. With a cry of terror, I dashed at the alcove, then into the corner, and then into the window, relighting three as two more vanished by the fireplace.
Oh my God.
And then, perceiving a better way, I dropped matches on the iron-bound deed box in the corner and caught up the bedroom candlestick. With this, I avoided the delay of striking matches.
Thank you.
Welcome to it.
Yeah, took you long enough. But for all that, the steady process of extinction went on, and the shadows I feared and fought against returned and crept in upon me. First a step gained on this side of me, then on that. I was now almost frantic with the horror of this coming darkness, and my self-possession deserted me.
It was never there.
It's true. I leaped panting from candle to candle in a vain struggle against that remorseless advance. I bruised myself in the thigh against the table.
Ouchie.
I sent a chair headlong. I stumbled. These are kind of a run-on sentence. I stumbled and fell and whisked the cloth from the table in my fall.
Whoa! It's so loud.
The people downstairs are just like, he seems fine.
For the next 1 minute of the story, it's just him going, ouch.
He's like rubbing it.
Oh.
My candle rolled away from me and I snatched another as I rose.
Oh my God.
Abruptly, this was blown out as I swung it off the table by the wind of my sudden movement.
Oh, it's him.
And immediately, he was the ghost the whole time. That might be
so
the twist. That'd be
funny.
Fun.
That'd be fun if he was the ghost.
Yeah.
And immediately, the two remaining candles followed. But there was light still in the room. A red light.
Oh, shit.
That streamed across the ceiling and staved off the shadows from me. The fire! Of course, I could still thrust my candle. I probably misdirected that. I could still thrust my candle between the bars and relight it. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
I turned to where the flames were still dancing between the glowing coals and splashing red reflections upon the furniture. Made two steps toward the grate, and incontinently, the flames dwindled and vanished. The glow vanished, the reflections rushed together and disappeared, and as I thrust the candle between the bars, darkness closed upon me like the shutting of an eye, wrapped about me in a stifling embrace, sealed my vision, and crushed the last vestiges of self-possession from my brain. This feels like he wrote this on a bet. Someone was like, I bet you can't write 1,000 words just about candles going out. And he was like, done. Like, done, Russian spy. Done.
I see your bet and I raise you way more than you asked for.
And it was not only palpable darkness, but intolerable terror.
Nice.
The candle fell from my hands. I flung out my arms in a vain effort to thrust that ponderous blackness away from me.
Yeah.
And and lifting up my voice, screamed with all my might, once, twice, thrice.
I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say it and ruin the story. Okay. I will say at the end of the story if I was right or not.
Okay.
I cannot wait. Then I think I must have staggered to my feet. I know I thought suddenly of the moonlit corridor and, with my head bowed and my arms over my face, made a stumbling run for the door. But I had forgotten the exact position at the door, and I struck myself heavily against the corner of the bed. He's so clumsy.
He's like a lady in a rom-com.
Yeah. I'm so pretty, so they made me clumsy, so I'm relatable.
I just want to have it all. I staggered back, turned, and was either struck or struck myself against some other bulky furnishing.
Ouch.
Oh, my internship at the magazine.
I have a vague memory of battering myself thus to and fro in the darkness, of a heavy blow at last upon my forehead, of a horrible sensation of falling that lasted an age.
He's just throwing himself around in the furniture.
It's true. Of my last frantic effort. He should childproof the Red Room.
Mm.
Of my last frantic effort to keep my footing, and then I remember no more.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. This is Shutter Island. This is Shutter Island.
I opened my eyes
in
daylight.
I just watched that.
So did I,
actually. So did I.
What the fuck?
Like a week ago.
Yeah.
I'm Hello? So confused.
Are we in the Red Room?
I watched it on Monday.
This is crazy.
That is crazy. It's a very good movie.
It's a great movie.
I hadn't seen it before.
I opened my eyes in daylight. My head was roughly bandaged and the man with the withered hand was watching my face.
Oh my God.
I looked about me trying to remember what had happened and for a space I could not recollect. I rolled my eyes into the corner and saw the old woman, no longer abstracted, no longer terrible, pouring out some drops of medicine from a little blue phial into a glass.
What?
Where am I? I said. I seem to remember you, and yet I cannot remember who you are. They told me then, and I heard of the haunted Red Room as one who hears a tale.
Sure.
What was the voice? We found you at dawn, said
yeah.
he.
Good.
And there was blood on your forehead and lips. I wondered that I had ever disliked them.
I kissed them. They tasted of copper.
Wait, what the hell? They're making him just go into that room every day?
The three of them in the daylight seemed commonplace old folk enough. What? The man with the green shade had his head bent as one who sleeps.
Huh?
It was very slowly I recovered the memory of my experience.
Okay.
You believe now, said the old man with the withered hand, that the room is haunted? He spoke no longer as one who greets an intruder, but as one who condoles with a friend.
Oh.
Yes, said I, the room is haunted. And you've seen it. And we who have been here all our lives have never set eyes upon it.
Oh, Australian.
He's like, oh.
Because we've never dared. Because we have never dared. Tell us, is it truly the old Earl who... No, said I.
No, shut up.
I will tell you. No, said I. It is not. I told you so, said the old lady with the glass in her hand. It is his poor young countess who was frightened. It is not, I said.
They need to stop trying.
There is neither ghost of Earl nor ghost of countess in that room. There is no ghost there at all, but worse, far worse, something impalpable. Well, they said. Oh, I read ahead. I don't know about this.
Oh, no.
I'm going to say right now, I'm pretty sure I'm right.
The worst of all the things that haunt poor mortal men,
yep,
said I.
Yep.
And that is in all its nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
Fear.
Yep.
It's fear.
Just fear.
Yeah. Fear, yep, that will not have light nor sound, that will not bear with reason, that deafens and darkens and overwhelms. It followed me through the corridor. It fought me against me in the room. I stopped abruptly. There was an interval of silence. My hand went up to my bandages. The candles went out one after another, and I fled. Then the man with the shade lifted his face sideways to see me and spoke. That is it, said he. I knew that was it.
It's Lindsay.
Liar. Fucking liar.
My name is Lindsay Katai.
Katai.
Oh, no.
No, that's what it said. It's Lindsay Katai in the book.
K-A-H.
Katai. That's what it says? I don't know. A power of darkness. To put such a curse upon a home, it lurks there always. You can feel it even in the daytime, even of a bright summer's day, in the hangings and the curtains, keeping behind you however you face about. In the dusk, it creeps in the corridor and follows you so that you dare not turn. It is even as you say. Fear itself is in that room. Black fear. and there it will be.
How dare you?
So long as this house of sin
endures.
Nice. Sin? Burn it down, baby.
The end.
Is it because he fucked the room? Is he that the room? Sin?
Maybe. He fucked the room.
He fucked that room.
Gotta fuck that room, room, room.
I was right. I was right. Except I did think it was going to be the added thing of like a draft was coming through the chimney. And that's what kept putting out the candles. Mm-hmm. But I was definitely right.
Fear.
Yep.
I get it Fearman. In theory.
Yeah, he was just I afraid and theory. Ran all over and the Duke like ran out and fell down the stairs and whatever the fuck happened to the Countess or whatever she was.
I would have been a little happier if it were something that fed on fear and became like stronger with it.
That would have been fun.
Just the being like, well, the concept of fear. It's like there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Type of thing. It's like very.
Oh, FDR stole from this story.
He did. He read it and he told me. Mm.
That's cool how you were besties.
Yeah, we were besties.
Yeah, you never talk about that.
Yeah.
We left on bad terms. Wow. Anyway.
It's Lovecraft adjacent a little bit. Like unfathomable, like unknowing is the scariest thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In Lovecraft, it is still like an actual monster. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cthulhu and all that.
Why more could have happened? These reading things are so repetitive of a certain age. Around the time it hits like the 20s, it starts to get better. But before then, it is all so tale-based. I'm telling you a tale of a...
Yeah, it's like very folk story.
And then it's just like, it keeps building in the tiniest little ways. So there's like almost no plot.
Yeah.
It's just message.
And I will say, he's good at atmosphere.
Yeah,
some the atmosphere was the language creepy. And the evocation, I was like, okay,
it's definitely evocative, but like repetitively evocative.
Yeah. I mean, I
move past the candles and the shadows.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that was the thing. It was just like hitting the same thing
pattern.
With no difference, height, really. It was like the candles went out. They
and
went out again.
They kept going out.
And then they went out and... out and out and out and out, and I bumped my noggin.
I know. He like hurt his little butt on a bed.
Oh, my butt.
Yeah.
I would pitch this would be a stronger story maybe if we knew a little more about our sort of cipher protagonist.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe if he like had like
why he set out there.
Yeah. Maybe like his
what
wife.
What was in it for him?
Yeah, what are his stakes?
Conquer
his,
it?
Yeah.
His wife died in a mysterious way and everyone told him it was a ghost. And he was like, no, I have to prove it wrong. I have to prove.
Yeah, maybe his wife died like in the room.
Oh,
and
yeah?
Everybody was like, it's a ghost.
Maybe his,
and it's like, I don't believe that.
Or maybe like his wife died and he was like, oh, it was in a fire. And then like he was like, I'm going to go find the guy on it. I'm going to go to an island and I'm going to find the guy that did the fire.
And then
I'm gonna keep pursuing
it. It's like
Mark Ruffalo's gonna help me.
Yeah, he's gonna help me. Yeah, but then like
and
also
I have, like a real tough backstory with Nazis.
Maybe
they're gonna keep me.
Yeah, they're gonna keep me here. Oh no. Mark Ruffalo, is he helping me or is he like doing something else?
Oh no.
There's a woman in a cave and she's played by
Patricia Clarkson.
She has like a like scene stealing moment in the movie.
But also that scene is shot sort of distractingly because the fire is like really intensely flickering and like, it hurts people's eyes.
Maybe like too strong a directorial choice. Like a little bit obvious.
And it's like maybe hammering the whole like things with fire are not real and the things with water are real sort of thing. Like we get it. Oh no, you're the killer and you would rather just live a fake lie. Kind of like Memento, kind of. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
that's the
fun.
Movie that's like Memento.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what Wells should have done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Otherwise, strong story. strong story.
What would you guys rate it? If we're going to start grading stories like it's high school.
Oh, sure.
Let's introduce that.
I would say like a B.
Okay.
I'd say B.
Greg?
I'd go lower. I would say C+ to B-.
Interesting.
C+.
Yeah, honestly, I'm giving it a C+ myself.
See, I think I'm doing it on a curve.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've had some other stories where literally nothing happens. Mm-hmm.
True. But I would give those very bad
like maybe
grades.
A negative F. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the red room. Great. Yeah.
Well, if H.G. Wells was a high school student.
Then this would probably be an A.
Yeah. I would be like, no, there's something here. I want to encourage you.
I'd probably give it a B in that case. Yeah. And I would say like needs improvement. Maybe like here are my notes for the next story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, if it were a high school kid and I was trying to like make them want to write more, I would do A, and then their next work, I would grade more harshly. Mm-hmm. I would just be like, oh, you know what? Maybe you should try like joining the writing club or whatever.
Confusing.
Yeah. So then they'll be like, there is no writing club.
Like, but it sounds like my last story was worse, but I got a higher grade.
And I'll be like, don't worry about it. I am not a good teacher.
Yeah.
Shush. Thank you so much for doing the show, Gray.
Thanks so much for having me. What a blast. Yeah. So fun.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Sure. You can listen to and subscribe to the Dopetown 3000 podcast. It's a freestyle hip hop comedy podcast where people come on and tell stories, and we make like a hip hop musical based on it. Wow. Kelly has been on the show.
Yes.
Please
it's
never
very
have
cool.
me on that show.
Oh,
you don't have to rap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You can just tell the story.
Okay. We'd love to have you on.
Okay. All right.
And also, I'll say watch the web series Depressed. It's a series of kind of like darkly comedic short films based on what it's like to live with depression that I directed. All of them have like a different kind of genre take on them. We shot a horror movie one yesterday.
Cool.
Very excited about. So check that out.
Awesome.
Nice. Well, thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you so much to our listeners for listening. If you want to help our show, leave us a lovely review on the podcast listening app of your choice. That is the thing that helps us the most.
Tell your friends.
Word of mouth, man.
Tell your high school teachers.
Tell your high school teachers and be like, you shouldn't have graded me so harshly.
Tell your fake FBI partners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Dr. Sheehan.
Thank you guys so much for listening. And we will chat with you next week.
Yeah. Keep it lit.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.